Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, we've been going line upon line through 1 Corinthians, and now we're headed toward the end of 1 Corinthians 12. And I love the way this church, the way we've always gone line upon line, precept upon precept, because that way we get the whole counsel of God. We approach scriptures that sometimes you wouldn't normally look at in your personal study. You know, we like the scriptures that say we're more than conquerors, and we like the scriptures that promise us prosperity, and we tend to like to go to those. But we need the whole counsel of God in our lives. And so when we go line upon line, sometimes we come across difficult scriptures that we have to really kind of dig in to figure out exactly what they're saying. And this is what this portion of scripture is today. And I was honored to get to teach it, but it's a lengthy portion of scripture. How many of you have been the last couple times with Pastor Jess teaching us about the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit? Yes, there's gifts that help us discern. There's gifts that help us declare the Word of God and prophetic. And there's gifts that are dynamic, that in a nanosecond, that limb is healed. You know, God has given us the gifts of the Spirit, and they are actually the weapons of our warfare. Did you know that? We're in a spiritual warfare, and He's not left us here to do it in our own strength. We're fighting an enemy we can't even see. You know, it's like, okay, where is that demon? You know, we can't even see. And so He has equipped us. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're born again, and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. He comes in, and there's nine ways He can move through you supernaturally, and they're actually your weapons to thwart the tactics of the devil. Yeah, if he's trying to deceive you, you can spend time with the Father. He can have a word of knowledge, and in that nanosecond, you'll realize, I was listening to a lie. That's a lie, and your whole world can change. Anybody ever had that happen? What God can do, as I was kind of praying a minute ago, what God can do in a nanosecond, many times it's taken us years to try to get. Amen? Amen. So we've come upon 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 12, and it's kind of a lengthy portion of scripture that I'm going to read through because it's all one thought. And so it wouldn't make sense to cut it up. So we're going to look at that. You're going to have to hang in there with me. Amen? So if you have your Bibles today, open them up, or of course we have them on the overheads. But sometimes we trick you and we don't put the scripture up there, and then you got to look it up in your Bible. I don't know. Anyway, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, and let's start at verse 12. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles. Most of us here are Gentiles. That's ranked sinners. Some are slaves and some are free. But we all have been baptized, totally immersed, into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? We all share the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We're one. Yes, the body has different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But your bodies have many parts. Everybody say amen. Some bigger parts than others, but anyway, I can say that. Guilty. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. Okay, girlfriend? God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now in your body, when you stub your toe in the middle of the night, the whole body is upset, right? Okay. Verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts. God has appointed for the church, this is in order of his appointing. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, and we really learned that gifts of healing is plural, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have gifts of healings? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown tongues? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And we're probably going to get into that actually in 2026, looking at 1 Corinthians 13. We know we have to be, I don't want to give away the punchline, but we do have to be motivated by love. Amen? Amen. So stay tuned for 2026. Anyway, so we've all been baptized into one body. Now I want to look at verses 14 through 20 quickly again. And I brought some little props to kind of add almost a humorous light to this so that it'll stick in your mind how God sees the body of Christ and how he wants us to be. So it says that, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot, I borrowed it from Children's Church. I remembered it was there. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, and very different color skin on this one. It's a manicure hand, I think. Anyway, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, Google eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, walking around like this, Cyclops, on Monsters, Inc., you know, the little guy, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell? So all of our bodies have many parts. God has put each part just where he wants it. Aren't you glad? And it goes on to say, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We need every part in our bodies. Amen? And I did that in kind of a graphic way, a silly way, to highlight the fact that we can't ever look at a sister or a brother in the Lord and say, as the body, we don't need you. Each part, God says, he has placed in the body. And likewise, we can't say, because I'm not like that beautiful voice, I'm not needed in the body. You are needed in the body. And where we get in trouble is when we're an eye trying to see and perceive things so that we can be a dynamite person in the area of prayer. When we're the eye and God wants us to focus and be who he's called us to be, and we start coveting who the mouth is, Or we start coveting who the ear is. You know, she's such an amazing listener, and everybody comes to her for counsel. I want to be like her. No, you would be a very bad version of her. God has called you to be you. Amen? So now in our walk, we have to hone in on God. What have you called me to do? Who have you called me to be? Because even if we're tempted to have a low self-image and want to go there and feel like we are important, we are so important in the body of Christ. And just like you can't say, oh, I don't need that hand, what would you do without one of your hands? And we know of people that have had injuries and things like that, and we think, oh, they don't have all the necessary parts, and God graces them, and it's all good, and in eternity they're going to have some rewards that we can't even imagine. God is a just God, so he works it out on an eternal perspective. Amen? That was just free. But in the meantime, we can't covet how someone else is, because then we're not fulfilling who he's called us to be. Amen? Are you getting this? And how he has called us to be, how he has designed us, is just as important in the body of Christ as someone else that maybe has a more pronounced gift. Are you with me? And so it's very important. That's why Paul is saying this here. He's saying, just like your body, you can't say, oh, I don't need my eye. I don't need my ear. They're not important. They are important. And you know, I've never had anybody come up to me and say, Sue, you probably have the most amazing liver. I think your liver is amazing. I have yet to hear that. Now, maybe one of you will be silly and do it today. I don't know. But yet, you can't live without your liver, right? You can't live without your liver. And so we spend so much time on the outward appearance because that's what everybody sees. But yet, our most important parts in the body, in our bodies, and also in the body of Christ many times are unseen. And yet again, we're going to see the eternal perspective someday. We're going to see when we're thinking we're going to be at the front of the line because we got 3.5 people saved. And then little sister that can barely, on earth, could barely walk, had the little gray bun in the back of her head, passes us up because in this life, her knees were ragged from her being on her knees and praying. And we get into a lot of trouble trying to be somebody else's call, a very bad version of somebody else's call, and not doing what God has called us to do. Dear, I hear an amen. And he's not going to judge us compared to anybody else. He's only going to judge us in light of what he's called us to do. Are you with me? Okay, I hope we're getting this today because I'm preaching to myself right now. I have trouble getting my eyes. You know, as women, we tend to compare and compete. Bad trait, all in the flesh. But somebody walks in the room and immediately, am I thinner? Am I skinnier? Am I older? Am I younger? Am I wiser? Am I dumber? No, I mean, we just tend to do that. We size ourselves up, and it's wrong. We need to have an attitude of esteeming and saying, oh, I can't wait to discover what beautiful gift is on the inside of my sister. And as I've said before, we need to go treasure hunting. We need to be little pirates and go treasure hunting. So what is the word saying here? Number one, we are the church, the body of Christ, and we belong to each other. There's no competition in the body of Christ. We are one. Everybody say one. We are many, but we are one. And we must work together just as our physical body parts have to work together. You know, every system in your body, all things being equal, just works divinely, amazingly together. And supports each other. Every system in your body supports each other. It's so amazing. And sometimes when you've heard sometimes of weird autoimmune diseases where part of your organs start fighting the other systems or whatever, and that's a very dangerous place because God has originally designed us that all of this would flow together and we would be have a body that works and is able to do all he's called us to do in the natural. So we do tend to give attention more to the prominent parts, but we need to realize that we all have a vital part in the body of Christ. Amen? Okay. So, every part in our physical body is important, and God's made all of our systems to work together. We must see everyone in the body of Christ as vitally important to the whole system, and esteem and honor each other. See, if you think about it, if God designed me the way he designed me, quirky and all, and he designed you the way he designed you, then the way we give honor to the Father is to be the way he designed us to be, to operate in that call. Amen? And that brings him glory. And so that's why we have to honor each other. Because for me to not appreciate and prize the gifts that are on the inside of you is a slap in the face to your maker. Now, you might have some things that are unlovely that he's still working on, and we all have those things that, you know, he's convicting us about attitudes of our heart or ways that we're not operating how he wants us to. But as we come into relationship with each other, we need to be cheerleaders for each other. And that's why I appreciate this church so much. We don't like the negative. We don't want Debbie Downers, you know? We want to see you esteemed and appreciated and prized so that you are edified and strengthened to a place that you can walk in your call. But it's only going to be as strong as we individually do that. It can't just be the leadership preaching that per se. It has to be a commitment on the inside of us that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the God, we're going to serve the Lord, but we're going to honor the Jesus that's inside each one of my sisters, my brothers in the Lord. There is Jesus on the inside of you demonstrating himself in a different way than me or another sister or brother. Amen? So number two, we must honor each other and exhort each other toward good works and holy living. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is returning for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And the faster we get this, and the faster we exhort and encourage each other and help each other even to find that gift that's on the inside of each other, then and grow into those places of maturity, fulfilling our individual calls, the sooner he's going to return. Amen? So he's just watching and waiting for us to step it up. Because we're one body. He's the head. We're the body. And we have to get it that we're only as strong as the weakest link. Think about it. If you had fallen over a cliff and someone's throwing you a chain for you to hold on to and pull you up, and one of those chains is about to break, you've had it. So each link in the chain must be strong. And that doesn't mean we're perfect. That means we are honoring a perfect God, and we're submitted to a perfect God, and we're determined to live a holy life for God. And when we're strong in that, and we're encouraging our sisters around us to be that and to do that, and what I started to say a minute ago, and where I've been amazed is I have sisters in the body of Christ that have helped me see myself, to be quite honest. I've always said if I'm blind, I'm sincerely blind. So if you've got issues with me, please talk to me, because I don't know if I have spinach in my teeth if I'm talking to you. There's not a mirror there. I don't know. Amen? So there's been sisters that have spoken into my life and said, you know, you're just amazing at that. And I go, oh, I am? I'm amazing at that. How amazing? No. My little snaffle buster voice. But we can help each other see things that we can't see. And so when we notice that someone, I was talking to somebody recently that she is so over the top generous. I mean, I've had to help her with boundaries a little bit because she is over the top generous. I'm like, okay, let's tone it down a bit. You know, because I said, surely you have a budget, right? Surely, I mean, don't you have a husband that keeps you in line like mine does? No. Anyway, But, and I don't know if she knew, she probably knew she was a generous person, but I'm saying that we can see things many times that our sisters can't see. And so when someone responds to you a certain way, or they say something that's edifying, or they exhort you, you can say, you know, that really encouraged me. You're a great encourager. Somebody told me that one time years ago. I haven't heard it lately, so I better work on it. But they said, you are, Pastor Sue, you are such an encourager. And I thought, I am. I didn't know I was. Do you get what I'm saying? We need to help each other out. We need to decide that you're my sister. When you're strong, I'm strong. If I don't help you get stronger, if I don't help you see who God's made you to be, then I'm going to be weaker. Are you with me? Are you taking notes? Are you listening? Because I believe this is a message that's on the heart of the Heavenly Father for us today. And we have to become better at that. That we're like treasure finders. That when we're, and I, our founding pastor Deborah, her daughter's just the same. But Pastor Deborah was so amazing at this. She would help me and others. I know many of you have been encouraged too. And Pastor Jess is great with that too. Of finding on the inside of us what God has put there. And to help us walk in it. Because he's wanting to return for a glorious church. Amen. So there can't be any divisions among us. We can't even come and worship God, the Bible says, if there's aught in our hearts toward a brother or sister. You can't come in here and praise the Lord. If you were doing that this morning and you still had a thing in your heart, somebody that you were glad you were on this side of the room instead of over here, or somebody, you know, we don't say we're in unforgiveness, but sometimes we just kind of diss each other. Like if somebody is over there, we know we had a little difficult situation in the past. I'm sure none of you. But we can kind of walk over here. Or everybody's going, oh, sister's, and they're hugging her, and you're thinking, it's not really all that. Anybody else on the planet with me? But the Bible says if there's anything in your heart and you're coming into this place of worship and you're going to lift your hands and you're going to praise Jesus, he's saying, You got to deal with that before you come to me. Because as we read in Acts 9:4, when Saul at that time was persecuting the church, Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He was persecuting other Christians. But see, he's the head. We're the body. And so what we do with our sisters and our brothers, he takes very personally. So he's saying, don't lift your hands, praise me, when there's stuff still going on. I know Joyce Meyer, she ministers all over the world. Tens of thousands of people always in her audiences. And she says she knows any time that she's going to minister on the area of unforgiveness, when she asks for a show of hands, she says it's gotten a little bit better over the years because she's done this enough times. But when she asks for a show of hands, of who has unforgiveness in their hearts, it's like 70 to 90% of the audience raises their hands. And she says, we got to work on our love walk. Because here we're coming in, we're raising our hands, we're looking all fancy, we clean up well, and we're looking great, but there's still stuff going on. And God says, don't come to me if there's still stuff here. And you can't make the person on the other side forgive you or act nice toward you, but you can do everything with your side of the deal. Are you with me? And sometimes we kind of let that be an excuse. Well, I tried to apologize, and she just went, you know, she just left. Blah, blah, blah. But did you really, really try? And maybe she couldn't receive it that moment, but then did you send a card later? Or did you try again? You know, sometimes we keep these things in prayer, and then God opens the door for there to be a good time of reconciliation. Are you with me? We have to make these things right. In our marriage, we're not even to let the sun go down on our anger. Do I hear an ouch? The Bible says, don't even go to sleep if you need to make something right with someone. If there's anger, if there's wrath in your heart. Ephesians 4:26, you need to make it right even before you go to sleep. And that's good marital advice right there, right there. Sometimes you sleep on it, and then it settles. And then it goes deeper. And then it's 3 days of silent treatment. Oh, don't look at me so holy. 3 days of silent treatment when you could have taken care of it and gotten a good night's sleep. Okay, I'm meddling real good today. Got to watch my time. Anyway, let's look at verses 25 and 26 again. It says, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now, this touches on the whole coveting what other gifts other people have thing. Sometimes we can be very empathetic towards someone's pain. We're quick to surround that person and hug on them and minister to them. But sometimes we're not so good with the testimonies. They got answered prayer for the thing that you've been standing in faith for 10 years. Or they were promoted to a place that you really thought, you know, you were in line to be head usher. And they didn't pick you. Now, I don't know of anything going on here, so trust me. But I'm just saying, sometimes we're good on the downside to encourage and lift up. But the Bible says, when one rejoices, we're to all rejoice. So when someone's starting to walk in their calling and starting to be promoted in the sense of having more responsibility is really what it is, and more access and more opportunities, we can have a little bit of an attitude. And we've got to watch that. And if you are struggling in an area where maybe a position or a place or a prayer that you were needing or you were coveting, I might say, go the extra mile. Even if you don't feel like rejoicing with that person, you go over there and you say, oh, I heard this happened in your life. I'm so excited for you. And you make yourself do some things, sister. You make yourself act like a Christian. You take yourself by the ear and you go over there and you say, I am so excited for you. Even if on the inside you're not quite there yet, you say it by faith and you rejoice with her. Or go a step better, send her a card that says, I'm so excited for that answered prayer in your life. Or I'll tell you a good one. When everybody's gathered around, And you know something wonderful that's happened in someone's life, and you're tempted a little bit to go, okay, God, I'm right here. Like, why hasn't it happened to me yet? To say in front of everybody else, isn't it so awesome that so-and-so got healed, and isn't that amazing, and da-da-da, and just promote that person in front of everybody. Give her a loud shout-out. Give her a praise, and that'll do something to your heart. Because, again, we're members one of another. We're only as strong as our weakest link. We got to get this together. We got to be strong so Jesus can return and we can get out of here. Amen? Amen, amen. Oh, you're starting to warm up. Okay. that's why I love our table fellowships. I love it because I see the sisters come together and the prayers that they're praying together the next couple weeks when they meet again to hear of the answered prayers. And there's a koinonia, there's a fellowship that's going on that's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. As I walked around in between the tables and stuff and just making sure everybody's doing well, I sense such a beautiful love and a fellowship and a cooperative thing going on around our tables. And God is in it. Amen? He's in it. You know, in my 73 years on the planet, I've repeatedly been amazed sometimes that some ladies, and we're ladies, so I'm talking about ladies today, that maybe are in society standards beautiful, many times have even seemingly more insecurities than somebody's just very average looking like you or me. You know, and it's always amazed me. But it just shows how the devil works and how that, you know, whatever you might think that person has, many times you don't have a clue. And sometimes those beautiful, beautiful women, and you're all beautiful, we can struggle as we age because, you know, if you have too much of your identity in how you look, the Bible says that's fleeting, that's fading. And so we need to get better. You know, we spend so much time just putting on the right stuff on our face at night and the right makeup and all that kind of stuff to present ourselves as well as we can. And hallelujah for that. If the barn needs painted, paint it. But we need to take the same effort, or most more so, to work on the beauty of our inside. I remember when Jessica Jordan was here, and her and Josh, her husband, and they're traveling now. He does comedy illusions on cruises, and so she needed to be with her husband. But that season that she was here, many of you remember, she did a lot of sketches and skits and brought a lot of laughter into our lives. Amen? And I even pitched this as a as a skit or a play one time, and she said, yeah, that'd be kind of hard to do. But did any of you ever see the movie Shallow Hal? I know this is not, I'm taking a sidebar right now. But how he saw her, she was beautiful, right? All the right stats and everything. Well, I said, wouldn't it be cool if there was some way you could have a movie that how everybody was on the inside is really how they looked? Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know how they'd do that. Well, now with CGI and everything, AI, I'm sure they could do it. But anyway, that, you know, you're walking along and those that are really beautiful on the outside because they're maybe very covetous and evil and manipulating or whatever on the inside, they look all, like, scary. Ooh, that would be a good one for this time season. No, anyway. And then the ones that maybe don't have a lot of, you know, whatever, your nose is in the wrong place or whatever, because you have such an amazing relationship with Jesus and you're doing kingdom business all the time, well, you're just shining and you're glorious. And that's probably maybe how God's going to do it for eternity. Those glorified bodies, you know, will have different degrees of brightness. I don't know. Anyway, my mind goes there. But I just thought that was kind of an interesting thought I wanted to share because I've never been able to plug that. Anyway, let's look at verse 28. We are moving along, I promise. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church in order of their appointing. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, those who do miracles, those who have the gifts of healings, plural, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healings? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown tongues? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And I would say most helpful for the situation. Now I'm going to go into my Bible college mode for just a minute because I think it's important. And I think many times we get hit with these questions. And if you just read this at face value and you don't do a little bit of research, it would look like not everyone's supposed to speak in tongues. Isn't that kind of how it looks? I mean, that seems to be what it says. So I want to just break open the word a little bit more fully because this is the full counsel of God. And I want to challenge your thinking in this area. Amen? So the reason there seems to be some confusion here is the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is not talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. We just learned about the nine gifts of the Spirit. He's actually talking about the ministry gifts, places, offices that you're called to that's going to be a consistent part of your ministry. Are you with me? He's talking about ministry gifts here. Otherwise, he starts out, first are apostles, second are prophets, teachers. He's talking about ministry callings. And then he goes into helping others, gifts of leadership, that's administration, those who speak in tongues, and those who interpret. It talks about it. But that is actually a ministry office. That should you be in a group or a church or a ministry that is, there's what's the word I want to use? There's avenue for that. Then you would be one God would use consistently to speak out in tongues and another person to interpret. I remember months and months ago, Pastor Jess was teaching on a Sunday night on the gifts of the Spirit. And we had a call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was up on stage with her. And and I just felt this urge to pray in tongues. So I prayed out in tongues, and on the end of it, Pastor Jess prophesied, or she interpreted those tongues. Tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. And so how God used me was to kind of give a little tug that this would be a good opportunity to prophesy. And that's how those two gifts work together. And then she interpreted my tongue and then went on into some more prophecy. And it was very edifying. Obviously, not everyone is going to do that. Are you with me? Not everyone is going to do that. So he's talking here about ministry offices. Otherwise, why would he list it with apostles and prophets and all of that? The supernatural gifts of the Spirit operate as the Spirit wills instantaneously in the moment that we need them. As I said, it's your weapon, the weapons of your warfare to help you in a time of need supernaturally. But ministry gifts and callings are something that you walk in more consistently. If you may have opportunities to teach, like in children's church, or maybe you teach CPR on your job or whatever. But when you're called to the office of teaching in the body of Christ, there's supernatural equipment that helps you operate in that gift. The other side of the teaching gift actually is research. If you're one that you just dig in the Word of God and you can do it for hours and you can love it, that's the other side of that gift, because you have to do that in order to have something to teach. Are you with me? So there's a grace that comes on you to do what God's called you to do. But if this was saying that not everyone is supposed to speak in tongues, then Paul would be contradicting himself another chapter later over in 1 Corinthians 14. So I want to share some of the scriptures with you. Again, I'm a bit in Bible college mode, but I think it's important because you need to have some accurate knowledge, because you go home to the same relatives I go home to, right? That say, oh no, the Bible says that we're in. Some of those religious ones can be the most challenging. I said that in a nice way. But anyway, but let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. And we're going to see some things here. And that the gift of the Spirit actually is talked about when we talk about the nine gifts of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is different kinds of tongues. It's different kinds of tongues. There's different tongues for different purposes. As I said a minute ago, when I spoke out in tongues and then Pastor Jess prophesied, that was an aspect of that gift. But now we're going to look at what the Bible calls praying in the Spirit. And that is an avenue that God has given all of us that are born again and then filled with the Spirit. It's an avenue of prayer that is amazing, and it's really for all of us. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. And in verse 2, it says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So the first thing that we can learn about speaking in tongues is that we're speaking mysteries to God. Now, that word mysteries in the Greek is the word mysterion, divine secrets. You are actually speaking divine secrets to God. The Holy Spirit is praying through you divine secrets that you don't know about, but God knows. But who else doesn't know about it? The enemy. So it's this prayer highway that you can pray about things that you have no intimate knowledge of, cooperating with the Holy Spirit so that he can get the job done. See, in this life, right now, while we're still on the planet, it's God and daughters. God has to work through us. That's why many times in the Old Testament, an angel would appear and say, do this. And you think, why didn't the angel just do it? Because God has set it up that way. He's the head. We're the body. We're in cooperation with him. And actually, God gave the planet to us in the Garden of Eden. We turned the spiritual authority over to the devil, but now Jesus took it back, and he said, here's the keys. He said, go forth in my name. Do these things. The works that I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these you'll do, because I'm going to go be with the Father. So we have a commission. And that's a high standard. We got to do what Jesus did. Do I hear an ouch? Yeah, we've got a ways to go. But I don't know where I went with that. But anyway, He's given us this avenue to pray and to cooperate with the Holy Spirit that is an access for all of us because we all need it. And we see that actually on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. It wasn't just the 12. It was 120. Yes, and the Virgin Mary, who was not still a virgin, was there. And they all spoke in tongues. And it created such a commotion that everybody came running like, what is going on? That wasn't just 12 people. That was 120. The Holy Spirit fell, came in like a rushing mighty wind. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first gift of the Spirit we see is that they spoke in tongues. Now, in that place, it was known languages of the day, but they weren't known to the ones doing the speaking. Are you with me? Actually, the miracle was in the hearing. I won't get all into that. I'm in my Bible college mode. But anyway, so it says in verse 2 that if you speak in a tongue, for the most part, unless there's an interpretation, you're not speaking to people, but you are speaking to God. And it says, for no one understands him. So you're not going to understand what you're saying. And you just kind of have to get over it. You're not going to understand what you're saying because you're not speaking to you. Your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking mysteries to God, praying about things that you have no clue. And I'm determined, I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, we're going to find out some missionaries that we saved their lives, some plans of the enemy to take out our kids that were thwarted. You know, we're doing kingdom business, and we got to do it kingdom way. Are you with me? Praying in the Spirit. And I'll show you the verse that talks about that also. But praying in the Spirit will strengthen yourself. You'll strengthen yourself. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, she who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, herself. But she who prophesies edifies the church. And people say, well, see, prophecy is better. Yes, in the church, because you're speaking a language everybody understands. But that first part of the sentence is just as valid, just as needed. She who speaks in a tongue edifies herself. You build yourself up. In Jude, it says, building yourself up on your most holy faith. You know, God is love. The Holy Spirit is love. Faith works by love. So when you spend time in his presence and you begin to pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to pray through you, there is a lifting up, there is an edification, there is a strengthening because it's a faith flow. And if you want to get out of unbelief and over into faith, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So be in the Word of God, but then add some praying in the Spirit to that, and you're going to come out of that place supercharged. Do I hear an amen? Anybody need any supercharging? Some of you are looking at like a dog in a new pan, like you're not sure if you want to listen to this crazy lady or not. But number 3, you will pray in the Spirit you will pray in the Spirit about things beyond what you have knowledge of. I already kind of messed with that. Let's look at verse 14. It says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But again, just like verse 2, my understanding is unfruitful. But it says that your spirit prays. So it's praying in the Spirit. This is the kind of tongue that is for prayer. And that is for everyone. It's not a ministry gift that only certain people will consistently operate. It is because you are filled with the Spirit and you are able to speak in tongues in the area of prayer. That's why over and over again in the book of Acts, if you do your homework, and again, take Bible college, you'll get a little bit more of this, but you'll see that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the first gift of the Spirit we see in operation is that they spoke in tongues. And I don't know why, except I believe that it has to do with this area of edification. When you pray in the Spirit, it's really more about, here it says, it's about you and God. It's not about other people. It's about you and God. And that just sounds like God to me. He will be number one. He wants to be the first with our day. He wants to be the first with our week. He wants to be the first with our tithe, our money. Amen? He wants to be the first with our heart. He wants to be our first love. And so the gift of the Spirit that would bring you into a place of intimacy and prayer with him is going to edify you and strengthen you so that then you can be more sensitive to the other gifts happening in your life. I call it the door opener to the gifts. Because if we would walk a little bit more in the Spirit, we would see a little bit more happening. Are you with me, ladies? Don't look so holy. If we would walk a little bit more in the Spirit, we would see actually a lot more happening. Are you with me? Are you guys still here? Am I getting too Bible college-y-ish? Anyway, so your will is involved. You can pray as often as you like and as much as you like. Your will is involved. And see, that's not the instantaneous gift of the Spirit that comes upon you only as the Spirit wills. You are now filled with the Holy Spirit. You have this access, and he's telling you when you pray you're in the Spirit, in tongues, you're going to be edified. But then in verse 15, he says, what is the conclusion then? Listen to this. I will pray with the Spirit. And he just defined it in verse 14 that that's praying in tongues. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. That is fun to do. And I will also sing with the understanding. So just like you decide how much you're going to pray in English or Spanish, whatever your first language is, you decide if you're going to get up early in the morning or if you're going to hit the snooze, right? You decide if you're going to rock out to country music in the car or you're going to turn it down and pray in the Spirit in the car or in English. You decide how much you're going to pray in your first language, but you can decide how much you pray in the Spirit. Now, this puts to rest some of the old Pentecostals' beliefs that, oh, I got to wait till the Spirit moves me. Well, you know, maybe you ate too much pizza last night. You know, I mean, our feelings, I don't know about you, but I got to adjust my feelings. I need help with my feelings. So if I'm going to wait till I always just feel this little something to do something for God, ain't nothing going to happen. Especially as you get my age and hormones went south. I mean, they're not even there anymore. You can't put a lot of credence in those feelings. And yet there is a sense of the presence of God, definitely. There is a leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of making light of some of these things. So when you pray in the Spirit and you're edified and you're strengthened, you can pray and make those decisions to pray as much as you want. And I encourage people, pray in the Spirit a lot because you need to be edified. You need to be built up. You need to be strengthened to live on the planet. Amen? Verse 18 says, I thank my God. This is Paul speaking. Now, this is the same one that said that speaking in tongues with interpretation isn't for everybody. As far as a ministry gift, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So he knew he was speaking in tongues a lot. He obviously wasn't saying don't do it. Are you with me? So even Mark 16, 17, 18, Jesus said, and these signs will follow those who believe. Where are my believers? Where are the believers? I like to say, well, the believers, please believe. But it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. Yep, we got to be doing that. They will speak with new tongues. Whew. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Sanctify your water. You know, we read a lot of stuff. Sanctify your food. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. As you were laying your hand on your shoulder, your sister's shoulder this morning, and agreeing with her in prayer, she could have received her healing. I hope she did. Because we as believers are to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So why does the Apostle Paul talk about being members of the same body, and then he goes listing these ministry gifts? I began to seek him like, why? This is all in the same passage. You're talking about being members one of another, being one, having the same compassion for each other, building each other up. And then he ends it with these ministry gifts. Well, he showed me that we all have a call to ministry to do something powerful for God. And therefore, we need supernatural grace and strength to do it. Everybody raise your hand and say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I think sometimes we just need to surrender more. I've been under so much pressure at times, overwhelmed with goals and deadlines and, you know, to-do lists and all that. And God just hit me with a thought. I can't do it. I'll raise my hands and I'll say, I can't do it. There'll be a devil on my shoulder saying, you can't do it. I'll say, I can't do it. Gosh, golly, gee, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. But greater are you that's in me than he that's in the world. And in your grace, by your grace, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I have a little children's church song we could do right now. But anyway, so as it's telling us to be members one of another, to encourage one another, to lift each other up so that there's not even a weak link in the chain, and in anticipation of Jesus' return for a glorious church, we need these ministry gifts. We need supernatural equipment to strengthen us so that we can do these things, so we can walk in love, so we can be all that he's called us to be. And we have to do it by his grace and with the equipment that he has given us. And that's why he's given us even this avenue of prayer, that we can edify and strengthen ourselves and get more tuned up to the Holy Spirit to hear how we're supposed to do what he's called us to do. Are you with me, or have you gone home? Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, every joint, every part supplies. That's what he's saying here. The same author by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So as we're edified, as we're strengthened, as we're encouraged, then we're going to edify our sisters and brothers in the Lord, and they're going to come up into a stronger place. We have a mutually beneficial goal. In other words, this is a goal that benefits all of us. For the church, his bride, to be glorious, without spot or wrinkle, to be holy, so that Jesus can return. It's vital that we esteem and exhort one another towards spiritual maturity and holiness. This is our job, ladies. Go treasure hunting. Find what's on the inside of your sister that is a call of God on her life, is a way that he's designed her, and exhort her and encourage her and let her come into her place of strength. Don't covet what she has, but appreciate and prize her and let her also see that in you. And we'll cooperatively do this. He is going to return for a glorious church. Amen. So what are we saying today? Number one, we're the church, the body of Christ. We belong to each other. Number two, we must honor each other and exhort each other toward good works and holy living. He's returning for a glorious church. And number three, we all have a call to ministry, to do something powerful for God. We need supernatural grace and strength to do that. Do I hear an amen in this church? Amen, amen, amen. Well, I don't know where you're at today, but I'd like for just a moment for you to maybe just bow your head so you're not tempted to look around and see what everybody else is doing. Again, we're not going to covet what everybody else is doing. No. Just bow your head right now and just have a moment with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to ask a question quickly. You know, we don't like to think about death. I've been distracted with that this morning just because I just found out that a close relative has went this morning to be with Jesus. I'm praising God he's with Jesus. But anyway, if it were your time to go today, like it was his this morning, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And you might say in your heart, well, I hope I go to heaven. I don't know. God wants you to be assured. You need to know that you know that you know that you're going to be with the one that you love so much. It's the will of God that you spend eternity with him. Jesus died to deliver you from sin and death so that you can make Jesus the very Lord and Savior of your life. You can't get good enough for him. He needs to impart his goodness to you. So you might think, oh, I've got to get ready. I've got to quit doing this and quit doing that. No, like I said, you can't. But he can give you the strength. He can put a new nature inside you that causes you to want to live a good life, want to live for Him, to leave sin and patterns of wrong thinking behind. He loves you. You're the very apple of His eye, the Bible says. He does not love anyone more or less than you. He's talking to you this morning. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you need to today. Don't leave this place. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't leave this place thinking, oh, I've got time, I'm young. Oh, we buried a lot of young people over the last couple of years. Don't think that. If you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm talking to you today. You need to do that. If you prayed a prayer at one time, but you haven't walked in it, you've been living for yourself, Jesus isn't on the throne of your heart itself or some addiction or something else. But He is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. So maybe you need to come back to Him today and actually seriously make Him the Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe you're just not sure. You need to make sure today. So on the count of three, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to hit this microphone. When you hear that, you're going to raise your hand. Let's still have our heads bowed right now. There's some people I feel like need to have some privacy this morning for whatever reasons. I want you to listen to your heart. If your heart's pounding out of your chest and you're wishing I'd shut up so you can have some fellowship time with girlfriend, I'm definitely talking to you. So on the count of three, I'm going to hit this microphone. I want you to raise your hand, and then we'll be able to pray a prayer with you where you'll invite Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. One, two, three. Raise your hand all over this place. Raise your hand if that's you. I want to see. You can just acknowledge that. Put your hand. I see that hand. You can put it back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't know everybody. Only God knows the heart. Sometimes we clean up really well. We come to church many times for months. And only God knows the secrets of our heart that we've never fully made Jesus the Lord and Savior of our life. Don't be embarrassed today if that's you. You think, I've been coming here forever. That's going to be so intimidating. We'll just love you on into the kingdom. We'll be happy that you finally made it right. Is there anybody else? I see that one hand. Was there anyone else? Don't want to cut this too close. Anybody else? Okay, I have my one sister. Let's just, while our heads are bowed, let's just say this prayer so that she can have that opportunity. And then we have someone that will give her materials and minister to her individually. But let's just say this prayer. Say, Dear Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I turn from sin. I turn from doing my own thing. I make you Lord over every area. Thank you, Father, that you are now my Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my Lord, my boss. You tell me what to do, and I obey. I thank you that I am now a born-again Christian. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.